This is an oral history recorded with Mr. Ken Fredrickson and his wife Margaret on the 31st of October 2013 at their home in Uplands, Swansea. The recording is part of the Connected Communities project, White Rock Digital Trails. The interviewers are Janet and Tudor Price.
It is, but you can't keep everything.
Okay, so I just want to say, Mr. Ken Fredrickson, yeah, could you tell me when you were born, please?
1927.
Okay. Coming up 87.
And where were you born?
I was born in Grenville Park. One of the first houses ever built on Grenville Park.
Yeah.
And I was born in my grandfather's house, Windmill Terrace, 42 Windmill Terrace.
Right.
But I drew two plans of the boat and I handed them to this lady, and the one I drew to scale was the one I put a lot of time into. The one they printed a rough one, which I'd drawn. So there's a...
So...
That's the railway, but there's a rough one, though.
Yeah.
Either somebody must have pinched a good one. there's Foxhall Road and Kilbay Road coming down over the railway bridge from St Thomas. And then you walked on over a little wall and you turned down steps, yeah? Well, you can't even find the steps now, it's overgrown. And then as you turned the corner, there was a bridge, a little footbridge up here, which was put there because a stream ran out from the railway line.
So what's your first recollection of that?
I'll
call you Ken, do you mind? I'll call
you
Ken.
No, okay.
Yeah.
My first recollection was going down with my grandfather, holding his hand. And then after that, at the end of every month, he'd say, come on, lad. And he'd walk me up to White Rock Works. And there was only one building left there. And that's where they paid my grandfather out for the work when I'd gone back and forth over the ferry.
So who was your grandfather, Ken?
Di Clark. Clark's Way is named after him, up in somewhere up the Harvard. Well, not the Harvard, the other side of the river. Di Clark. The ferry boat was opened in around 1871, and strangers had it the first part of his life. But then my great uncle or something, Llewellyn, took it over. Well, he had it for a number of years. I got a photo of him, yeah, sure, yeah.
So, did your grandfather own the ferry, or did he rent the ferry?
No, he rented it. It was a bit complicated because it was on LMS property, on the railway property, and the railway owned all the ground around there. Mm. And then he was the corporation had something to do with it. I'm not quite sure what they are. But they took it over in the end, and they had two men drowned on it on a boat, and the railway took it over.
Mm. So did your grandfather make a living working the boat?
Oh yes.
That was his occupation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a full-time job. You start in the morning about 6, get the workmen in to work, but had the early shift. And a Foxhall one side and Aberdale side. It came out
Mollifont Street.
Mollifont Street. It would help, I'm a bit fuzzy. It came out in Mollifont Street in the Avod. And there was the Aberdeeshire Works was in the Harvard side. A lot of women worked there. Right by the entrance to the ferry boat. And where White Rock started, the ferry boat was just by there. Mm. So it had the workmen to go across the Aberdeeshire Works and women. And it had people living in the Harvard going back and forth to White Rock. Mm.
And so did you go across on the boat?
I used to take the boat across. When it got the fresh was on, it was a heavy rain and the river was... It's not like it is now, pulling the engines up at the barrage there. You just go right down low and, you know, it was fully tied up. And when it was nice and a lovely day, and I used to take it across. But my grandfather wouldn't let me take it across on my own until I could swim. Well, when I was walking home, I was looking a bit despondent because my grandfather wouldn't let me take it over. He was scaled it from the rear, from the stern of the boat. And I passed my youngest uncle. There's only 8 years between him and I, my mother's youngest brother. So he said, "What are you looking so miserable?" I said, "Mom, you won't let me take the boat over because I can't swim." "Oh, we fixed that." He said, "Come with me." Took me to Weavers and threw me in.
So he fixed that. You learned to swim.
Willie, that was. And he was a bit of a boy. He was in the Atlantic 3 times during the war. He's after Gunner Merchant Navy boat. But any of that celebrated nothing by it.
So people would pay your grandfather?
Yes, but what you've got to remember is the shopping centre for Swansea then was a high street. So it was easier to go across. People from Ballymoy and Grenfell Town had to walk right down to St Thomas, over the St Thomas Bridge, then walk up to High Street again. So it was far easier to go with the ferry boat.
So do you think, in the time that you remember it, was it mostly work people or was it mostly...
Both.
Both?
It was relatives from families that lived in the Howard and Foxwell. And Foxwell was a wonderful community. You know, it was all integrated sort of thing. Yeah. And my grandpa knew everyone. He was a sort of the nosy parker of the area, because people would tell him, "When you see my wife go shopping later, tell her that."
Yes.
And then I'd be there in between. My grandfather had it then for 20 odd years, I think he had it. Then he passed it over to his 2 sons, George and Davy. It was left to Georgie, and Georgie was there till 1942 when he was called up the army. And then the railway took it over, and then they banned it over to the council. 5 men got to drown it all together because he didn't understand the fresh wire. So it finished about 1945, really. But my family had it till 1942.
42. And your grandfather and then his sons would have carried that on, and they were all... you began to tell me about how they settled up the dues, settled up the monies.
Well, my grandfather knew everyone who came over on a boat. And if he was going shopping, they would pay him penny single, 3 pence return. And then the weekly was 4 pence halfpenny weekly. Go back and forth, return every day of the week for 4 pence halfpenny. And then he'd go up and... as I say, get on my hand every month, "Come with me, lad." And I'd go up to White Rock and they'd pay him the money for the workmen that had gone over for that month.
So White Rock would pay them?
Yeah, White Rock would pay him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. There's a story that George Clark went to war, Second War.
1942.
Yeah. And that he was called back.
Yeah, my grandfather knew every bit of that river, and if there's anybody, a woman was seen jumping off Morrison Bridge, the main bridge over Morrison.
Witch Street
Bridge. And of course they had no clue where she was, so they came and asked my grandfather. I went down there one morning and he called me over and he said, "Go to the police box on the bottom of my stage street. And go to the little cubbyhole and open it and get the phone and ask a policeman to come up and see Bamper on the far down the ferry." Which I did. And being nosy, I went back there. and two policemen come down. My grandpa pointed up on the furthest corner of the Aberdeen Works, the little mud bunker. And there the lady was, who jumped at Morriston. And he found another one then lower down where the old River Towy, the original River Towy, came back into New Cut. There's a bit of an eddy there, you find him in there. So he knew where anybody on the river had just jumped in, where he'd find them.
Can you tell me, Ken, where your grandfather's family came from? Were they Swansea or were they...
No, that river, touching the shady. my grandfather originally was a Llywelyn, the Anthracite people. Like my uncle Llywelyn, the one of Harry bought before him. But he was illegitimate, as far as we understand. And if you read, that woman now mumbles and writes his books. All about Swansea.
Gower, Iris Gower.
Yes. Well, Iris Gower wrote one book called Fiddler's Fairy. And that explains the family more or less. We know he was related to the Llywelyn somewhere along the line. But
yes, I was more interested in whether they were Cornish, whether they'd come across, as so many people did.
My grandmother came across, she was part of a family that were road builders, and they just discovered Tarmac Adam. Mm-hmm. And she lived in one of four cottages where the entrance of the docks was right alongside the entrance of the docks. They got knocked down years ago. I can only just barely remember them. Mm-hmm. But my grandmother came from one of those cottages. Mm-hmm. She was a Devonshire woman.
Yeah, what was her name?
Before she got married, Curl.
Yes, right, okay. Yeah, I know some of your history, but I need to hear it from you so that I can match it up. So, can you tell me about where your grandfather lived?
Yes, please? He lived. And when he first took over the ferry boat, he lived in the... There was four houses just above the ferry boat, above White Rock Works. There was a piece out of the road, and four houses built in there. He lived in number one.
What were they called, Ken?
Quarry houses, they were called. He lived in number one quarry houses. And when they knocked it down, which... when they did knock it down, they wondered if a road widening Fox Road. They gave him £70 for the house to knock it down. And then afterwards they wanted to charge him £70 for taking the rubble away. It should just be helpful.
Something quite modern about that.
And then he went from there to 42 Windmill Terrace, where I was born.
So, if I said that Quarry Road, Quarry Cottages was Samlet Row, would that be the same thing or not?
The top of Foxhole Road, would it be?
Was it? It's not the same thing. Samlet Road, Quarry Cottages?
No, as far as,
no?
As,
okay.
far as I know, it only went up to the side of Pendergwyth.
Yes, yeah.
I think it was still in Foxhole. Okay. And you can make out the bit of a thing, where the houses were, but they took most of the road, as I say. Yeah.
So, none of your family were Welsh-speaking?
Not really.
No.
My David, my grandmother, could go. When he was a youngster, he had a wonderful voice, and you should take him out of pubs in Swansea, certain pubs, to sing in. But then... my sister started work, I thought I'd forgotten. So,
Was he a bass or a tenor? Or?
Yeah, a boy soprano.
Boy soprano. Right. So did
I haven't got a photo of Di. only his wife, Maria, and her family.
Well, I may be able to help you there, but I've got some photographs. But so, where did you go to school, Ken? Where did you go to school?
St. Thomas.
St. Thomas, yeah.
There's only school around there.
And did you go to church or Sunday school or?
Oh, yeah, Kilbey.
The parish church?
Yeah, Kilbey Church.
So in the sort of community that existed then, can you tell me a bit about that, in Windmill Terrace? And
oh, it's a wonderful community, they're real church people. My grandmother would die, and Mom Maria, his wife. They had distant relatives of a long way around, living upon Kildale. Now, Di had 9 children, and they also had 9 children. But the both of them died. I remember one time 2 of Di's children died, Philly and Philip. Phyllis and Philip, they both died with the flu in 1914.
1918.
Well, 1914, I think they did. 14 is on the gravestone. And so, Di and Maria.
Ronald and Clark.
Yes, yeah.
They took 2 of the children of the family that died on Kilvey Hill.
Right.
Took 2 of the children. So that made it up to 9 again. Maria, that was his name, yeah. Maria. So the family went up to 9 again. Mm. And the girl they took over, Jenny emigrated in 1927 to Canada. She only just died under a year old. Mm. But that's a different family. But that's the way they were in Foxville. They were all one happy family.
Yeah.
Nobody locked the door in Foxhall. Nobody. Mm. They had oil lamps and everything like that. And us boys, as we got older, kept on going in coal, because we'd go to the rifle, over the rifle wall, which is part of Foxhall wall, further up on the bottom ship. And we'd jump into an empty coal truck going back to the valley. And we'd jump out of the coal truck. We'd get off just before Morrison, where the old station used to be. The railway line turns, the train would slow down. Any of the drivers knew we were doing it. But we'd jump out again up there and wait for the full ones to come down. And we'd jump on the full ones and throw bits of coal out all the way down. And the bigger boys, Foxwell then, would go with a push bike, a sack, fill a sack up and put it in the frame of a push bag and put it back. And they used to dump the coal. It wasn't for any one individual, it was for everybody in Vauxhall. Next door to Thayer's house, where they had a stable and ponies, and they'd dump all the coal there. And as people got run out of coal, they'd go to in the morning and get a bucket full from there.
Self-help.
But the train drivers knew coal had been weighed at end as they came out the colliery, so they didn't care. They went straight onto the tip on the dock, in the south dock, and tipped into the ships.
So when you talk remembering people and other boys, did you consider yourself poor or well off? Or
no, just your ordinary family. My parents were struggling. My parents only had one child because it was so hard. They were bad enough to take up one. That was me. And I don't blame my mother. My mother was pretty small and I was 12 pound born, so it was nice.
But do you remember children going to school? Can you describe conditions?
St. Thomas was a bit of a little hardy area, because all the kids at school had shoes to the school. But we went over for joinery lessons over to the, Danny Gray, and half of those kids didn't have shoes, so we were a bit of above that, maybe.
Yeah.
We were richer than them.
Good pecking order. So, as you as your family went about, and as you grew up, how did you travel? If you were going anywhere?
Well, we had no transport at all. We used to go look forward to school picnics, where they only went from one room from St Thomas Station up to Glace as a Sunday school picnic, and then the other one was from East Dock, over on Jersey Marine Road, East Dock, just below St Thomas Church, to Jersey Marine. And we used to think that was wonderful. Mm. Up until I went to the army, the furthest I'd been is Mumbles and Glaish, and where they'd gone with the Sunday school.
And how old were you? Were you conscripted, or did you volunteer?
When in the army.
You were conscripted.
Conscripted on when I was 18, on 18. My 18th birthday.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So before we go to that, so what was your father's employment?
My father, he was in a timber company on the dock, right, legging timber on, until the war, and then he went up in Baldwin, up at Harvard, up in Lando, making bombs for the war. They clean out bombs. I was the first one to have a car in Granville Park after going to the army. The roads weren't made of nothing then, all rough roads. So only one lorry tried to get up there, a coal lorry, and it busted that club. It's down Master Street, one wheel after, one wheel after.
Some hill, my days. Yeah. So just say with your father, you're saying he was with RTB Landor. So can you tell me the QF factory? Can you tell me anything about that?
Well, you know, it started. That was making ammunition.
Yeah. And, so it's not that one you're talking. You're talking about RTB. It's across the water.
Over in Landor, RTB work.
And he would have had a free ride on the ferry?
Well, he didn't have to go on the ferry because they walked up the line from St Thomas to the works. There was a footbridge up there to go to RTB.
Yes,
it's still there now,
it is still there,
yeah.
Okay. So, you were conscripted, can you tell me about that?
Well, I must tell. I called up and they asked me where I wanted to go in, and they said, the Navy first, or the Air Force. Thank you very much. I went in by calling up papers a week later for the Welsh Guards. So I spent till 49 in the Welsh Guards. One photo up there.
45.
That photo up there is the first time we were allowed to wear a tie and shoes after the war finished. I'm up in Lübeck there, up in northern Germany. They're all dead except me. One bunker ended up a millionaire in Australia, Frank.
So were you working before you joined up?
No.
Yes, of course you were working.
Oh, yes. I joined school and two of us joined the same day. And he was a skinny, tall boy. And the other boys started picking on him. Well, that was my swan song. I enjoyed that day. But I got very friendly with Di. And we left school the same day. We went to work for McSimon and Potter, a ship chandler on the dock. And we stayed there till we till the both of us. No, I went from there then to Tijon Power Station, and I spent 3 years at Tijon Power Station before I got called up. But I got called up as well, and after the war, I went straight down to his house. He lived in number 3 Gavril Park Road, number 3 or 4, and his family had moved. I didn't know where he was. Well, I didn't know what had happened to die. Well, years and years later, I got in touch with his regiment, paratroops, and they told me he got killed in Arnhem. So last year, we went out to Arnhem and found his grave. It's in Oosterbeek, 7 miles from Arnhem. He killed us on the second day of the fighting. He killed on the 19th, and the fighting started on the 17th. So that was in. So I had a cross and I wrote on it. Fishing hadn't been the same without the die. And stuck the grave, cross on his grave. I got photos of it somewhere. But I never knew what happened to his family. If I had known, I took some extra photos, I could have given them to him if they hadn't been out there.
So, up to the war, into the war, were you conscious? How conscious were you of the river and the copper works, or had really those days passed really by then?
No, they're always in my mind. Well, we used to have egging fights with Foxhill boys. But Georgie would take the boat, or Uncle Georgie then take a boat over the other side of the river. Because young Georgie, his son, he'd been dead quite a long while now. He had a digger slug out of his back. Me, slug out of the air. That's a different leg. Oh, that's another slug one. My Uncle Georgie would be working with a penknife digger in.
Happy days.
Oh, Foxhill boy. Well, that was a new estate, so there was only three or four of us up there of the age. And Foxhill boys, we had to run the gauntlet to go through Foxhill.
But in terms of the copper site, White Rock, you've got a clear picture in your mind of it, of the building still there.
Oh, yeah.
What can you tell me about the atmosphere, the pollution, or...?
Well, what I remember vaguely about White Rock was the people working on the lead there used to go blind like that, and my mate's father had to go down the boat one day on that railway bridge before he got to the boat. He was leaning on the railway bridge crying. He had just gone blind, totally blind. Freddie Travis, his father. And it was common for White Rock Works.
Yes, because it would have been lead and silver then,
gold
and gold, not copper. Yeah.
Matter of fact, after it all closed up, my grandfather hired it. Who he hired it from, I don't know. But he hired it to put his boys, his six boys now, that he showed him where there was culverts full of lead. And he had his boys digging out the lead. And he bought a lifeboat from Ward's shipbreaking yard. Well, Llewellyn was a good joiner, cabin maker, the way. He built a cabin on it. Sid was a good motor mechanic, so he bought a Thornycroft engine to put in it. Ivor was a good painter, was his work as a painter. So they did this lifeboat up. It was a treat, beautiful. And he bought a net and gave it to the boys. When they were short of money, go out and catch a load of fish, bring it in and sell it in the market, fish market. So he had his finger and all everything like die.
So you could eat the fish, could you, out of the towie?
Oh yeah. No, we wouldn't. Right next door down to the boat was Mosdale's. Now they used to pick up all the cattle and cut the feet of them, the hooves, and make glue out of the hooves. Well, they used to see all sorts of stuff come down the old vent out of that works. So my grandfather used to warn us, don't do it, wouldn't he? My grandfather got blood poison from it. Had a cut on the hand and they had blood poison. That was when Georgie took over from him. He died after that.
Can I ask you specifically, as a child or your teenage years, if you were ill, what happened?
I don't know, just cold. I don't know whether I could still see it. I got it in the head here somewhere, I don't know where. And I couldn't stop it bleeding. Stone. There was a brick up in the head. And they couldn't stop it bleeding, and it was for hours. So they got a bit frightened, and they got to call a doctor then. Well, it happened that it was old Efferman. And Efferman was a rough old boy, and he said, oh, it'll stop. Put a pad in it, tied it up. But that's the sort of thing that I have. My mate then went to work for Efferman as the junior doctor, Don Gamage.
So, would you have had to have paid for that?
Well, my mother and father did all that, I didn't.
And were you aware of people coming to the house to collect payments for different things?
Well, they're different. What's that, Liverpool? A man used to call from Liverpool every week, and they used to, the mother used to pay him so much money. What that was,
a friendly society. Was that a friendly society or?
Yeah. Liverpool. You know, let's go. We know it's LV now.
Yes.
But it used to be.
Do you ever remember the Ivorites friendly society? Do you remember hearing of that?
Yeah, but it's a new estate, and the only thing I really remember about the estate was a little van would struggle up there every week on a Thursday morning. And my mother would give him 6 months, and he'd give her a fresh accumulator for the radio. Like a big battery.
Power battery.
It was a low-tension battery. And it used to be 6 months to recharge his accumulator every week.
Incredible. Yeah, okay. And finally, again, back to childhood, in terms of illnesses... in terms of illnesses, were you aware of serious illnesses? You mentioned in your family, but...
Up until I was 70 years of age.
Not you, in the family.
Just around you, in the streets.
Yeah, my father died when he was 76, and my mother died...
Do you remember any children with diphtheria or...
They're around the area. The whole family went that I got friendly with from. A family up, used to come across a boat from up in halfway in St. Samlach. Mm. And the whole family had wiped out with what's this letting complaint?
TB.
TB. The whole family had wiped out with TB. Mm. Yeah. Myself, I never had illness in my life.
What did you end up in Hill House with?
I didn't know. Oh, I scarlet fever. We walked down the drain, the drain had run down through the estate, and we had to run down the drain. We couldn't walk down the road like three of us, and we all ended up with scarlet fever. But that was all. The next real illness I was when I was 72. Everything was wrong by 72. Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask you where you met your wife?
We worked together.
In?
Electricity Board.
So are you from... I'm raising my voice because I need you to raise your voice.
Originally from Calais, but Gowerton.
Gowerton. Yeah. And your family's occupations?
Farmers.
Farmers. Okay. And she's still at it. She got 50-odd pigs.
Nearby?
Over in Gowerton.
So in terms of, say, the 2-3 generations behind you, are they solid Gower?
Yes.
Swan?
Yes.
Yes.
Let me think. Yeah. Carmarthen for my father, for the, Carmarthen family. And the Austins are from Cornwall, which is Sally's relations
Of course.
As well.
Yeah,
but all in service in the park with the Vivians.
Ah, Park Warden.
Singleton Park.
Oh, Singleton Park. Oh, right.
In the Abbey.
Right.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we were in the Abbey. And
Sandy
Hook Sally and my grandfather was a groom.
Yeah.
In the Abbey. And then we had a cousin, and then Grandpa Austin and Granny Austin. They were met in service in the Abbey. Granny Austin was dairymaid. And Grandpa Austin was a coachman. And then they had three boys. One, Eton. Eton. Eton then was a gardener and finished his time in Singleton. And Eton always used to prepare the clock on Mumbles Road. If you remember the clock, Eton was in charge of the, you know, setting out the clock and everything. And they, he lived in Singleton, which was a tight cottage, until 6 years ago when he died.
Gosh.
Because the tight cottage was for Eton's life.
And Eton was blinded and spent his later life totally blind, and still used to do gardening, and brilliant gardening, as long as he was on his own little patch. He was on a destroyer to try to take supplies to Tobruk, because Tobruk was cut off. And he in this destroyer, loaded with aviation spirit, and shells and bullets and everything. And just a quarter of a mile off Tobruk, it got sunk. They got torpedoed, and Eton was in that oily water with aviation spill and everything, got in his eyes and blinding. And they wouldn't give him a pension earlier on, about 40 years ago, because his eyes weren't quite so bad then, but they wouldn't give him a pension, turned him down, so Eton didn't bother anymore. But we went to a military tattoo up in London, and went into the office there, complaints office, and told them. And the following week they were down, looked at Eden, and he had the pension. Then he goes, and on top of that he goes and dies.
I want to just ask you, I know you, I'd love to come on to this, I need just to check. Can you tell me the oldest relative you can remember ever meeting? Ever seeing?
Well, all my mother's family die, my uncle die, and all our family. I can remember all of them vividly. But I can't remember the Uncle Llewellyn, one before die. He wasn't there long on the ferry boat, but they were like a sort of family, out of our family, and yet they were in it. But
And for you, the oldest living relative you can remember? Yeah. Is it your grandparents, or could you even think?
I'm trying to think.
The only one past my grandparents was my uncle, Llewellyn, that was on the boat. There's a photo of him, yeah.
Okay. Right, we better come to that, I think.
They lived in by Steg Street.
Right.
I always used to think that was a mansion that was so long and so big that it was always immaculate, except for one thing. In the kitchen was a clothes horse on the pulleys, you know, over the fireplace. And I thought it always used to amaze me to see him pull the clothes up on that. They were like a different generation from what they
are. So, can I ask you as well about occupations and the type of people who lived in the area? If I use the distinction skilled and unskilled, how did you see people?
Well, as I say, my own family, I got another four twins. There was six boys, Starting with the eldest, Davy. Davy was a bit of a gypsy. We didn't know what Davy was. He's the one who used to have George in a boat sometimes. Davy, he was sort of the black sheep of the family. Then there's Llewellyn. He was a cabinet maker, made all his own cabinets for when he got married. Then there was Sid. Sid was a footballer, played for Huddersfield and different teams up there. Mm-hmm. So then there was Ivor. Ivor was a painter. And then there was Willie then, my youngest uncle, who was only 8 years younger than me. I used to follow him around like a little dog everywhere. And one day, because he wanted to meet this girl, he got to me and he put me on a hatch cover in the Queen's Dock and pushed me out in the dock. Left me there most of the time.
He wants a drink. Yes, Willie's drink.
Do
you want a drink?
Yeah, we can stop.
Do you want a drink, Ken?
No, I'm all right.
You're all right.
And then...
What did Willie do? What was his occupation?
Willie, he worked with Llewellyn, the cabinet maker, in the West Wales Timber and Joinery.
Right, okay.
Llewellyn was my manager and overseer for the timber works on the dock. They made windows and all that. You know.
Yes, I was talking recently to someone who has used the ferry coming the other way to get to the timber merchants. Regularly came across through Malifant Street to get to that ferry.
Well, I was amazed when I went up. As I say, when I went up for a fortnight ago, 3 weeks ago, you can't even see where the ferry boat was. Either side. Now the river is full all the time because of the barrage.
Yeah.
I turn on the boat, or when it was a tide out. At low tide, below the ferry boat, was a walkway. If a ferry was closed, you used to walk across up the water and up to the knees. No tide would go that far. But being that it was tide out, when they had heavy rain up a valley, the water would come down there in torrents. Mm. And you had to put the fresh way on. And it made it very easy. The easiest of it, because all of it was turn the boat
into the
just put the bow slightly into the torrent coming down, and you shot across and just straighten the boat up when you got to the other end.
So when you got to the other side, to the Haverdisher side, the
Malifant Street,
so you, even on a high tide, presumably it was quite a way up to Malifant Street.
As you know, Swansea tide is the second highest in the world. Place in Newfoundland is the highest, but we are just fractional behind it, so it can rise right up. But opposite the ferry, we were landing on the end by the Aberdeen Works. Well, there was a jetty going along there with proper boards put in for the yachts coming up there. I remember them coming up there and tying up. But now it's all grown. It's just one mass of greenery now.
So you remember commercial boats coming up the Towy?
Yeah. What they were doing and picking up, I don't know, there was one shed halfway up, where my stake street is. There was all houses along there. Joyle's, the grocer, and the meat bloke, and the big house is just opposite up there. Well, George used to live in one of the houses with the back to the river. The bottom of the street, over there. And often there was a sailing boat right opposite with a big shed. He used to come up there regular. He'd be up there about for a week. Then he'd be gone, and he'd be gone for about a month, and he'd come back then. But the highest up the river I ever saw one was tied up under the Aberdeen Works. I'll show you one here.
Right. Okay.
Oh, something may be interesting to the... Oh, I don't know what this is. What is it? Well, yeah, with the work, and my grandpa and Di. That's the Black Sheep family. And there's White Rock in the background this way, and the Aberdeen works that side.
Have you any idea why it's called White Rock again?
Well, it's all the stonework, and well, like a type of white rock. They had like a, well, you can't call it a bridge, and the foundation of it is still on the far side of White Rock. They went right up to the top above White Rock, and there was all parts of the works up there. It's the foundation of it, where it went from, is still there now. And we used to climb it after young pigeons, newly born pigeons. We'd be hanging on bits of string virtually, swinging across to get these pigeons out.
In one of the maps, it shows a urinal on the bend in the road.
That's in Pentagini.
Pentagini, yes, that's Pentagini. Yeah.
The urinal man was a First World War man, had his arm blown off. And he'd spend all the morning, he'd get up early, do a urinal with St Thomas, that urinal in the wall in the foxhole, and went up in the far end of the bone mine. And he'd walk up with this big goose pipe over his shoulder and his hard broom, only one arm he had. And he'd do the urinal over the wall and the windmill terrace. And he'd go down the boat for his cup of tea and his toasted tea cake. And that was my chance to row the ferry boat over. Because when my grandfather was great mates.
So this is bothy or whatever here you're talking about?
Yeah.
That's where they'd have...
That's a boathouse.
Right.
That's the lodge.
People lived in these? Did they live in them?
No.
No?
The boathouse only for keeping the oars. After a while, the oars would bend. One oar, there's a lot of pressure on it. And the oar would come with a bend. But then the boathouse was big enough to take the oar, the big brick tied in the middle of it, to straighten the oar out. And soak with water every morning. And they used to keep his oil skins just inside.
Okay. So can you just tell me again? So these are Clark's.
That's Di Clark.
So that's your grandfather.
And that's the second oldest boy.
That's
the oldest boy, Di.
That's young Di then. Yeah, right. So this is, yes, okay.
And there's all the women would come out during the time when on nice weather and sit on a log of wood along here, with their feet hanging over the top, eating their sandwiches. This is White Rock, yeah.
Is this Isher?
Yeah, yeah. That's called the Abbot Isher Works.
Isher as in... Isav, yes. So it would be... Havard Lower. Yeah,
Havard Isher. Well, that's where it used to tie up. Where the yacht used to tie up.
So we're looking now at the two men in a boat... on the white rock side. Yeah.
Well, there's his family. I got a call, my eyesight's gone with a stroke. That's me. That's Di. That's Sid, the footballer. That's a painter. That's Iver. And that's Llewellyn, that's a cabinet maker. And that's Willie, my youngest uncle. He had a rough time, he didn't know what. And that's my grandmother on her 80th birthday, died away.
You could get it copied, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, I think if you're happy, then... If you're happy for me to copy them... Then we can put the names... Perhaps ask you again just to write the names on them.
Do you want me to put them on the copying?
Well, it's entirely... Well,
I can do them, no?
Well, that would be very kind of you.
I think they've come out.
Oh, yes,
do.
Oh, they're good.
What else have you got there, Kenneth?
That's only one of them. I can't see, so I can't tell you who that is.
never seen that. That's a good one. I haven't seen that before. That same thing.
Is that Ronnie, Kenneth?
No, it's long before Ronnie's time. No, it's the earlier part of the century. Yeah.
So we're looking at a family photograph with lots of Clarks. That's the second photograph. And now we're looking at a superb flat bottom boat. So scull here, Ken.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The spare boat of ours anchored on the flat where they built a wall. Now there's heavy stones for still to work, there's black stones. They built a wall in front of the boathouse. The steps up the middle of it.
So there were two boats?
Yeah, the spare boat we used to anchor under the wheel steps under this wall on the side. Do you have that little map?
There.
There we are. But there's the spare boat under that wall.
Yeah. Yes, that's quite a famous one. But that one.
This is where there was a pole by the other side of the fire. A fresh wire. Yeah. A big pole up there, I'm only guessing now. Big pole, I'd say. And it came off the shed.
On the mountain side, yes.
There's one, I think, where it's coming off the shed.
So, how many passengers maximum, do you think, roughly?
You take about 10 if you had a fresh way going. We'd be busy in the working in the morning at 6 o'clock. But in the morning then they'd be coming all the time.
So
the shop was going.
Yeah, if it was very low tide, Ken, could he scull then or not?
Yes. Enough water between my eyesight. I can't right. see the okay. left one. Is that a stroke?
Okay. Right.
But that's the Aberdeen works. And a little loco used to come around there. I don't know whether you can see, there's a track right through it.
Yeah.
And the loco track is going around. I go around here and back up to the Morva by that. That place is like the clock tower.
Yes, yes.
And the engine house is there. This little engine used to come around here every day through the Morva, pick up stuff, and go on his way back around up to the local shop.
So climbing up, yeah. It's quite a height difference, yeah.
And I don't know why I put this one in there. This is when Grenville Park was being built, I think.
Good. Okay, well, we can just stop that.